Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to Speak. I'm Joy Taylor. Emmanuel Acho is off today, but we have Super Bowl champion James Jones
What's here with us.
NBA analyst Rick Bucher. What's up, Slick?
What's up, Slick?
And Eagles all-time leading rusher, all-decade, two-time Super Bowl champ, Pitt Panther, Shady McCoy. That was pretty good, right?
How y'all doing today?
Did I leave anything out?
I'm pretty serious today. How y'all doing? I'm ready to work.
All right. You locked in.
Serious. The Thunder are serious. They show why they're the number one seed in the West. Last night, Luka Doncic got off to a rough start in the series, 19 points, shooting 1-for-8 on three-pointers. OKC is now a perfect 5-0 in the playoffs. But Rick, are the Thunder flying under the radar?
No, they're not flying under the radar. I assume that we're asking that question because they had technically the best record in the Western Conference, and yet we don't talk about them as being title contenders at this point. But if I look at what teams have done in having the best record in the conference over the last number of years, getting to the second round really isn't that impressive. There have been plenty of teams that have gotten to the second round and haven't done more than that. Am I personally impressed with what they did in game one against the Dallas Mavericks? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. I didn't put a whole lot of stock in the fact that they beat the New Orleans Pelicans and swept them in the first round because I'm just not that impressed with the New Orleans Pelicans. And I thought that you had two relatively inexperienced teams going up against each other. Oklahoma City Thunder are much deeper and more talented, so not a surprise. But, you know, doing what they did against the Dallas Mavericks. Well, let me show you what I was talking about when I came to the teams that have had the best record in their respective conference over the last few years. All of those teams listed there, they all had the best record in the conference. Mm-hmm. And yet none of them got past the second round. So what the Thunder have done to this point has been done plenty of times by teams who have done what they did in the regular season. If we're going to say that they're flying under the radar, it would be because they've accomplished more than we're giving them credit for. And they really haven't done that to this point. Now, if they knock off the Dallas Mavericks, then we're in a completely different conversation.
So you don't even think them being a young team, though, did they accomplish something getting this far?
Not for where the league... It's a fair question, because I could make the case that, well, they haven't been in the playoffs for 4 years, right? And these guys, outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, have relatively little experience. Isn't it impressive that they won a series? Mm-hmm. I just look at where the league is right now, and we got the Minnesotas and the Indianas and the Oklahoma City. We've got all these young teams that are making this move because all these veteran stars are no longer in the playoffs. Mm.
If they win another game.
Yeah. Am I gonna feel differently? I will for another reason. Do we have my other full screen here?
Got graphics today.
Yeah,
I got loads and loads of graphics. So this is what the Dallas Mavericks have done three out of the last series, including just against the Clippers. They've lost game one.
Yeah, they're gonna lose
in
game one.
In a lot of series,
they're gonna lose game one.
Yeah, they're gonna lose game one, and then more often than not, they come back and win the series. So to answer your question, if Oklahoma City wins the next game, yes, then I put them in a completely different category because Dallas has demonstrated You know what? Sometimes we give away game one, and then we kind of figure out what you're all about and what we're all about, and we come back and we take care of business by winning game two.
I guess it's not for me that they're flying under the radar because they were the best team. It's to me they're flying under the radar because, and I don't want to get crazy here, but they're a really good defensive team.
Really good.
That's the same thing that we say about the Timberwolves. Mm. They have an MVP candidate.
Mm. Say that about the Minnesota Timberwolves.
We can say that about the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes.
They are a unit. They are a team that is excited to play together. They do all their post-game interviews together. They play as a team.
They have
a lot of chemistry.
Yeah.
We could say that about these other teams that are in the postseason. So what is it specifically about this team? We were talking about the Lakers being strategic to line up to get this smoke.
Ooh.
I don't know if I feel so good about, about those takes watching this team now. So I'm just, where I would say that I think they're flying under the radar is, we're very excited about the Timberwolves, and rightfully so. I mean, they deserve that.
Yeah.
But why I ask is if they win another game, they'll have 1-6 in a row in the playoffs. They're holding opponents to 90.6 points per game. That hasn't happened since the 2016 Spurs, which is a team that we all hold in very high regard. They shut down Luka. Their young players are playing at a very high level. Chet is playing at a high level at 19 points, three blocks, 5 of 15 on contested shots against him. These are young players who play together. They have all of the same checks that the Timberwolves have, yet we're talking about them as if they haven't proven anything yet. But the Timberwolves have?
It's not so much what they've proved as what they are. Like, the distinction for me is that Minnesota, like, Mike Conley, proven veteran.
Great.
Sure.
Into the playoffs
of course,
a ton.
Of course.
Rudy Gobert, plenty of playoff
experience. So it's
experience.
More experience for
There's
you.
More experience there. And so the Thunder, there is a little bit of that, like, okay, they're so young and they're so inexperienced and everything that they do is like the first time that they've done it or experienced it. I'm in that Missouri show me state, right? Like, that's just where I am with them. And what they're showing me is, we are all that. Yeah. We're everything that we did during the regular season.
Do you think they're flying under the radar, Shady?
No, I'm going to say no, right? I mean, I see the boards you show right there. But to be the number one seed, you got to do something good. Got to have some type of talent.
Man.
Right? And then we talk about this MVP type of caliber of players. Like, Shea is that, right? And he's really doing against everybody. When I watched that game, man, I was wondering, who's going to guard Shea? Who? Because bigger guys, he's quicker than, right? Smaller guys, he's stronger than. He's the best I've seen create space, right? You get in that mid-range, get that little shoulder bump, fade away. That's his game. Mm. And as I look more at this team, they're really, really good. Jalen Williams, though, right? Talk about a player that is... I would give him like that Rodman type of case.
And you could say he's flying under the radar.
Now he's flying under the radar. Plays extremely good defense, and he shoots the ball at a high clip, right? And he had a slow night a little bit last night, and he still balled out. Mm. So I'm just looking at this team. They have so many young guys that people don't know their names. That's why you asked that question, right? And it was funny you asked that because, like, I do this for my job, right? So I got to know different players. But if you ask just a regular fan out there that loves basketball, there's a lot of starters out there for OKC. They won't know who they are.
Right?
Like Aaron Wiggins. Aaron Wiggins is solid.
I was just going to write down his name.
Play defense, shoot the ball. So these are things that, like, people don't know who these guys are. With the Timberwolves, you know most of their guys. You know their stars. Mm-hmm. They're guys that make all-star games.
Yeah.
They're not doing that at OKC. Right? So I just look at this game, man. And they're very well coached. Mark is doing a good job with this squad. Right? The way they play together. And Joey talked about it, how the chemistry. They love playing with each other. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with, like, when you have a young team, it's either going to be individuals, man, he's shooting the ball too much. Or you have the young guys that just happy to be there and they want to play together like they do every interview after the game. So this thing will be good. This thing will be hard to beat. I do still think the Mavericks should win this series. I think they have better players, more experienced players. And I don't see Luka, even though he hasn't played good all playoffs, to be honest. He has some good games, but for scoring. But even if you look at the numbers, how he's scoring, it's not bad.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, it's not good. I just think that they have a better team. They should win.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. They are not flying under the radar. If they flying under the radar, they the people like us talking on TV, people sitting on the couch. Because if you watch them during the regular season, you know they are a good basketball team. If you listen to the league in the regular season talk about like the Steph Currys, the LeBron, they knew that these boys was the real deal. Like, so they ain't sliding under the radar for none of these teams that they are playing. If they sliding under the radar, like I said, it's for people talking on TV, it's for people sitting on the couch, because this is a really good basketball team. And for me, it kind of reminds me last year of the Nuggets.
Nuggets was a really good basketball team, but we did not see them deliver in the playoffs. Young team, didn't really see them deliver in the playoffs. Yeah, they're a little younger, but we haven't seen them deliver in the playoffs. That's why we had them concerns. You win five in a row, that ain't lucky. You win two in a row, you win five straight in the playoffs against playoff basketball teams, and you the number one seed in the West, that ain't luck. That ain't sliding under the radar. This is a good basketball team, and I promise you, they better start paying attention before you walk out of this thing 0-2, Dallas.
And another thing real quick is, like, I guess when you have that youth and you're younger, they showing it. They fast. They fast. If you really watch the way the game is played, so it's funny because Kyrie, when it's time for him to get the ball and run the offense, they're fast-paced too. But you look at, like, Lucas slows everything down. But if you watch OKC, they don't never have that cruise, right? If they get in a half-court set, Shake usually takes over. They get the little five wide because everybody can shoot one-on-one past the open guy. But if you just watch them play, they get that rebound, they are up their court because they're center.
Yeah.
And Chuck can, he can shoot, he can play a guard.
And they don't.
The boys is rolling.
They all look like they're ready for the moment.
And yeah,
that's everybody.
Like they're ready for it, right?
They're like, it ain't nowhere. Game get close, we're going to do what we do.
Yeah.
I guess I just keep going back to, I hear you, but we was talking about, should the Lakers play to get these
problems? We didn't believe them.
We didn't take them seriously.
Yeah.
Now,
because
they haven't beaten the Mavs yet. They won game one at home. Yeah. They are a really good team. The Mavs going to lose game one. Lucas, we're going to talk about Luca in a second, but
just what they do.
I just think it's interesting that they're playing the way they're playing. They look how they look. They have all the same checks as the Timberwolves do, except for the Timberwolves have one more win in the playoffs so far because they're 6-0 and they're 5-0. But we were talking about should the Lakers try to put themselves in a position to play them instead of the Nuggets. So that is where I'm saying I feel like they are flying a little under the radar because, and maybe it is because they're young. Obviously, the Timberwolves have a lot more postseason experience. They have different types of veterans on their team. And we feel like we've seen them we know a little bit more about them than the Thunder.
And we had no expectation that they would be in this position at the beginning of the season.
No, you're right.
We weren't even talking, like, winning the conference.
Yeah.
I was being bold and saying they were going to be a playoff team. Like, people thought, oh, man, you're edgy in saying that, right?
You're gutsy.
And then they win the damn conference.
Yeah.
I also think they're not controversial at all.
Yeah, they're fun.
Zero.
There's nothing there that draws your attention to them. They're just a really good team. Like, they like playing with each other. Mm-hmm. There's no back and forth. I would even, like, they remind me in terms of what they're accomplishing of the KD, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, when those boys first came together, right?
In OKC,
really young. Didn't know what
talent
to expect from them.
That's a good point.
OKC hadn't done anything in a while. Then they make the playoffs and they start making some noise. But even there, you had, like, KD and Russ was a little bit of that back and forth.
There was some tension.
And James Harden, like, I ain't satisfied being a sixth man. Like, I need more, right? You have none of that with these guys. Like, they all look to SGA and go, oh, that dude's our leader. That dude's our MVP. Mm-hmm. And everybody else falls in line. And so I think the lack of controversy is why maybe we just don't appreciate how good they are.
That's a great point. That is a great point. I don't like it, though.
What you don't like
because
about?
Because I like when it's a little controversy, right? I like how Ant-Man talks.
Little edge.
Right? Like, even though they tight, but look, hey, without saying this, this is my team, this is how I want it, right? Without saying it. Because even, I'll give you an example. Like,
but that's Ant-Man, good tension, though.
Ant-Man is, he don't bite his tongue, though. He don't do that.
Yeah.
But he's a team player first. He talked about how McDaniels is not really getting the opportunity to shoot the ball, but he's playing great defense, right? How Cat is probably the most skilled offensive big man we've ever seen, right? But he's still basically still letting y'all know that, hey, look, that's... Hey.
Yeah, give me the ball.
Give me the ball. And I love that because if there's ever a scenario or situation in the game, right, you know how I feel.
Yeah.
We teammates, after the game, we do press conference together, laugh, joke. The game on the line, I want it. Safety on defense. He scoring, yo, I got it. Yeah. Like, you need somebody on the team. And sometimes it can go left a little bit sometimes, but it's still respect. That's the only thing about this young team. It's like, they're doing well together. They're happy for each other. But they're too happy. They're too nice.
Mm.
Right?
Well,
you don't even see no little
They haven't had any adversity yet.
Yeah,
they did.
But yeah, they
ain't, work
even in the regular
Mavs,
season, they didn't show a little bit of that.
It's all these smiling and all this happy. We got commercials. We joking. We singing. It's all cool and all that.
Number one seed.
Right. It got to be a time where I got to see some. And I do. They do have dog.
Yeah.
But it's a different type of dog. That's all I'm saying.
Well, there's still time. Who is a dog is Luka, but he was asked about his sprained knee and bad shooting last night and said, quote, "Who cares? We lost." Very Luka-like.
That's how you do it.
Yes. Shady,
what?
How concerning.
Who cares? We lost.
Don't like, he's no saying, who cares about
his
knee?
Who cares about his knee? No.
Who cares about his knee?
Don't get no excuses about your knee.
I like Luka, though.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight. I think Luka's a phenomenal player. But I feel like we don't hold him accountable for a lot of things he do. His lack of defense, right? We got out here and praised him because he had a couple good defensive series against James Harden, right? Paul George. But if you really watch that series, I mean, majority of them games, he wasn't playing defense.
Talk about
okay.
It.
We give him a pass. I don't hear anybody call him out. Okay, then we go to the way he's been shooting the ball. We all know he's a phenomenal offensive scorer. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
But he ain't been shooting the ball at a high clip like that. His efficiency hasn't been up there.
No.
And so many times, I counted. So this is a new thing I do, right? So I won't forget. When they played the Clippers, I was counting possessions. Of he was dribbling that ball, just dribbling the air out the ball, right? And shoot and miss.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, God darn, Kyrie Irving's hot. Let him get a shot at it. I've watched LeBron James dominate the ball for years. But there's times in games where Kyrie was hot. Yo, go ahead.
Get the ball.
Go ahead. And I don't see a lot of that. I've seen this game where he shot the ball bad. Now, this game, he didn't shoot the ball as much as he normally does. He normally shoots bad and just keeps shooting. And eventually catches some heat, some fire. I'm just tired of us not holding him accountable. This performance, not only he shot the ball bad and didn't play defense, yo, he don't hustle at all. Ooh. He by far, he is the laziest superstar I've ever seen in my life.
Don't even be shady.
Yo, I'm just being honest.
And we see the same thing.
And if you don't watch this game and you don't say the same thing, you being biased.
Thing.
Now, I do think he's phenomenal. I do think the Mavs are going to win this series. I think that Jason Kidd, right, who's an excellent player and an excellent coach, he needs to give the ball to Kyrie a little bit more, right? Let him kind of run the offense a little bit. Because we all know Luka's going to get it again and do his thing because they need that to happen. Right? He always finds open guy. I get all that. We need more of Kyrie, less of Luka in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And I need him to give me some attitude and some like desire that you want to be out there playing.
Yeah, certainly.
Like, he'll be caring sometimes.
No, that's a really good point, though, because James Harden is almost my age. Maybe can stay in front of James Harden a little bit. PG getting up there in age. You may can stay in front of PG. These dudes out there at OKC is young. They nonstop. They attacking the basket, nonstop movement. Like, if you are not affecting the game on the offensive end, and I'm not saying every offensive game you're going to have 35. You are going to have nights to where you are not going to make shots. But go earn it on the defensive end. I agree with Shady. You trotting down the court. After you miss a shot, your knee good, and you trotting down the court and act like your knee sore and hurt on defense, but you got to affect the game in different ways.
Yeah.
I'm a Luka fan, too. I truly believe Luka is going to bounce back and have a big-time game in game two. We just mentioned We just mentioned that game one. They like, forget it. We just going to come out here. We're going to make sure.
They don't like the Luka to win.
That's it. They don't want to win game one. But game two, I think he's going to go out there. He's going to show out.
But Slick, am I tripping though?
But he got to play some
defense,
though.
Before you go, Slick,
though. In terms of what?
Like, talent don't require no type of a hustle. Hustle that requires no type
of
talent.
You're right.
Like, I don't even listen. You could be the Kevin Durant or Steph Curry, LeBron.
Yeah.
But dog, your hustle can be.
You're right.
He got no hustle. I watched a loose ball last night. I'm like, yo, he looking at it. He looking
but
around.
But that ain't just last night though.
Over the course of this season, I saw Luka getting the ball out of his hands quicker.
Okay.
And getting guys involved. And to me, that's when the Dallas Mavericks are at their best. As is with most teams, if I get to touch the ball offensively, I'm going to play that much harder defensively.
Absolutely.
If I'm just standing around offensively watching you pound the rock, and now I got to go play defense, what, I'm going to go back and play defense so I can get the ball back to give to you to watch you pound the rock again? Like, as opposed to, oh, wait a minute, if I get the ball back and you and I run the floor and you're going to feed me and I'm going to get a bucket, now I'm engaged, yeah. Right? Now I'm involved. He lost some of that over the course of the season. If you look at his usage percentage over the course, he kind of got away from that. When they started to struggle, he went back to his old ways of, I need to get it done for us. And I think that that's counterproductive. Now, when it comes to this series and over the last couple of games, I do think that his defense, while never great, he had improved. The sprained knee is going to affect him more at the defensive end than it is offensively. When I know how to get to my spots, I can protect my knee and still try to be effective. Yeah. Defensively and going against these young guns, man, he's going to struggle. So I think the way he's played and the way he's playing right now is very concerning, because I think he is trying to play around that sprained knee. And they need Luka to be at his best if they are going to win this series. That's what's concerning for me.
But the only concerning thing, too, about that is they stretch that they went on at the end of the season, 16-2, beating the Clippers, wasn't offense. It was how they was playing on the defensive side of the ball.
But you know why they were playing that way? The reason they were playing that way is because he was giving the ball up. He was passing it ahead. Like, now Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford and all these boys are getting shots. And they're feeling good about themselves. Mm-hmm. That's the Luka that they need.
It ain't like he's guarding Shea. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't like he's guarding Jalen Williams. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but you also can't struggle on the defensive end and struggle on the
offensive
end.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, also, you can't keep shooting threes.
And they make it easier for him.
You can't keep shooting threes. You can't dominate the ball. Struggle. He's shooting one of eight from three-pointer. He's dropped the
22. And keep chugging.
Right, and keep shooting it. And I understand. Shooters shoot. You know, you miss all the shots you don't take. I get it. But you missing the shots you do take, too. So you distribute the ball more. You're not going to beat a team like this that, to Shea's point, is running up and down the court, is distributing it, spreading it around. Yep. Everyone's involved. Chet had 19 points. What did Jalen have last night?
Yeah, 16.
Like, you have to move the ball around when you're playing a team like this. And if you can't contribute on the defensive end because of your knee,
this is about to affect the game in some type of way.
Yeah, you're too important to
superstar
or
not.
That's winning, yes.
Like,
this is why I need to see game two. Mm. Because Luka has been good about making adjustments.
Yes.
He has been good about, okay, this didn't work in game one. I need to do this different. And it ends up working over the course of the series. So if he can't make those adjustments for whatever reason, either because he thinks I got to put it on my back or the knee doesn't allow him, then I'm going to have a different, perspective.
I hear you, Slip, but why are you thinking that? Because you don't have to do it all by yourself, right? Even in games that they won and he had made adjustments.
Yeah.
Kyrie was a big part of that.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, yo, Luka, you are the main focus. You are the best player. You are the guy. You are Batman. You are him, for sure. But there's sometimes some possessions where Kyrie starts rolling, because Jason Kidd talked about how the second half, he likes to get him going a little bit.
Yeah.
He's saying it's crazy because I've been trying to get Kyrie to get going a little earlier. So when I heard him say that, because I'm already seeing that. Like, I'm not tripping. And then the head coach, Hall of Famer, said it. Oh, okay, I'm right. My thing is, let it happen more.
Yeah.
Let Kyrie get some more of the possessions. Because I think he'll be fresher. I'm talking about Luka will be fresher, right? Not as much pressure. And then you can slowly get into your game.
Yeah, having Kyrie is a huge asset.
And using.
Not being taken advantage of. Coming up, hype train it's left the dock. Chicago is very excited about Caleb Williams.
Super Bowl!
Super Bowls!
Super Bowl.
What's the ceiling for Caleb Williams Bears this year? That's next on Speak. And don't forget, you can check us out every day on the Fox Sports channel on Sirius XM.
What?
Not Left the Dog.
Pink confetti's.
Not Left the Dog.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Expectations are very high for the Bears after taking Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. And they've had a busy offseason, adding tight end Cole Kmet. Even said, the team has, quote, an infrastructure in place for a high-end, talented rookie quarterback to come in. Rawr. James.
What are they doing?
Yeah, Bear Claw.
They're going to paint their nails next.
Oh, shoot.
I'm okay with that. What is the ceiling for Caleb Williams Bears this season?
I think the ceiling is playoffs. I think this is a good enough roster that they can make the playoffs. You talk about a Pro Bowl receiver, an All-Pro receiver in Keenan Allen. You get one of the best receivers in the draft to go with a really good tight end and one of Shady's favorite running backs out of the backfield in Swift. Yeah. They have a solid offensive line. I think the playoffs is the ceiling. Once they get into the playoffs, they'll be playing, obviously, some really good football teams. I think it'll be a first-round exit. But I think the ceiling for this team, if the young quarterback comes in there and does what we think he's going to do. Just be what he was in college. I think this team's ceiling, they can get to the playoffs and have a really good season to build on going into next year. But the way this roster is built, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I think they have a chance to get to the playoffs. I believe that's the ceiling.
I think the ceiling is one playoff win.
Oh, you think they're going to get one?
No. Hold on.
The ceiling. You think ceiling. The ceiling.
The question is, what is the ceiling? My expectations is going to be much more aligned with what Shady is about to say, which I won't spoil for everyone. But expectations of what I actually expect this team to do and what I think that they are high ends capable of, right?
Playoff win.
I think a playoff win. CJ Stroud won a playoff game last year with much less talent than they have in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Chicago was not picking at the top of the draft because of anything that they did, but in fact what the Panthers did. Mm-hmm. The Texans were picking at the top of the draft because of what they did. They had a rookie head coach, and CJ Stroud was able to go there, win the division, and go to the playoffs and win a playoff game. Now, again, what do I think is going to happen is something different. But what I think they are capable of with this roster, with what they've done, what they put around him, with what they were last year, and adding what we all think is a generational player in Caleb Williams at the quarterback position, that's what I think the ceiling could be. Now, look, I don't want to get too crazy with it.
Yeah.
But being that we just watched a rookie quarterback do that, I think that that is a reasonable ceiling Chicago Bears. Expectations is a different conversation.
It is.
Shady, what do you think their ceiling is?
I don't even, like, play around with the whole ceiling and the floor. I don't even play around with that type of stuff. This is my thing. Like, If I ask you why would the ceiling be so high, is because you're going to say the players and the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
That's what you say?
No.
He's a rookie. Mm-hmm. As much as potential he has and a superstar talent he does have and possess, he's still a rookie. And you know how hard it is to be a rookie. When I was a rookie.
I do.
I had a really good rookie year. Yeah. Started and everything. Had, like, the rookie record.
Yeah.
But it was so hard. And I was like, man, this is it got better over time. Yeah. But, I mean, it was still tough.
Yeah.
And depend on me to take my team to the Super Bowl, to the playoffs, is crazy. Look at this. We can go to all these different names, like C.J. Stroud. Had a phenomenal rookie season, right?
Rare.
It's not going to be like that.
Very rare.
Right? Because I got, like, Peyton Manning, who's 10 times better than C.J. Stroud right now.
Right now.
He was terrible his rookie year.
Terrible.
And he had good players.
Yeah.
And then eventually, we've seen who he was. Mm-hmm. So the Bears took Caleb Williams, number one pick overall, because he has the potential to be generational talent.
Yes, he does.
And the potential to win a Super Bowl. Not just we want to get to the playoffs in our first year.
No.
Hopefully.
They want to get to the playoffs in the first year. Trust me.
They sign this kid because they think he has the potential to take his team to a Super Bowl, to be a dynasty.
Yeah.
They look at Patrick Mahomes. They see the same identity, same type of style, same type of play. They see that. I see it.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is when I bring this player in here, I'm not I can't look at his first year as like, okay, failure or success, depending on his wins and his playoffs.
I completely agree with you.
It's hard.
To me, a rookie quarterback looking eye test, like he can play in the NFL functionally. Like he can read the defense.
Yeah.
We see any kind
Let's stop you. I'm going to stop you real quick because I was with you, though, but that's one of my questions I have. How you know he can read the defense?
Okay, well, look, he doesn't look overwhelmed. Let me say that.
He just looks special.
He has moments of special. You're right. We don't know if he can read the defense.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes said he couldn't read the defense for years. So looking special at times, looking like he's not overwhelmed, and looking like, okay, we got the guy.
Okay.
Maybe he's not ready. He's not completely refined yet. To me, that is a win at the rookie quarterback position. How many wins you have that year, I do not care about.
Yeah.
Mostly statistics, I don't really care about. It's nice to have a good number in, you know, passing yards or whatever, but like depending on how it looks, is that really is whether it's a failure or win to me. And even if you do look bad your rookie year, I still don't care. We really don't care. But I think that the expectations for the Bears are as high as they are. The ceilings, the predictions, all that are as high as they are because he is going to a more unique situation for a rookie quarterback than we usually see.
Yeah.
You're usually going to a very desperate situation.
So I hear what you're saying, but as high as expectations that you have, that other people have, right, around about this player, which everybody has, my thing is, so let's say he falls short. They're going to have opinion about that because they thought so highly of him and his team. Not you, I'm just saying overall.
I agree. That's why I'm saying I wish that we were having realistic conversations about what we should expect from Caleb Williams this year. But nobody's interested in having those.
Yeah.
I at the end of next year, if he is not Rookie of the Year, if they don't make it to the playoffs, if he just looks like he is a franchise quarterback, right. to me, yeah. I'm happy with that.
I'm with that.
That's not necessarily the case for the people sitting on the couch and the Bears fans and all that. Because
that ain't the case for anyone in that
because
building.
Because right now, and not only that, we got to blame Caleb Williams for that. Because the way he looked in college, that's why the expectations is what they are for him at the Bears. Why we ain't talking about Drake May like that? Why we ain't talking about Jaden Dead, the other quarterbacks? Because they didn't do what he did.
No. Because they don't have the talent.
That's what I'm saying. They're not him. They are not him. So the expectations are different.
Don't you think it's also what they put around him?
No doubt. But that's what I'm saying. I'm with you guys on the expectations. I'm not saying he should go out here and take his team straight to the playoffs and look like Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that. But when we talk about the ceiling for this team, they got better at every position on the football team. You got better at the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You got better at the running back. Mm-hmm. You got better at the tight end signing Everett. You got better at the wide receiver position. You're better at the O-line. You got better at the defensive line. You signed your big-time corner. Like, they're a better football team all around. So when you talk about ceiling, if he can just come in there and be better than Justin Fields, the ceiling for this team is playoffs.
I mean, I guess 85% of what you said was right. But, like, what's the most important part of the team is the quarterback.
The quarterback.
So you giving the keys, right?
He got the keys.
To somebody that just got to pass his driving test. He didn't even drive yet. Think about it for a second. Everybody you talked about, we've seen how good they are.
Yeah.
We've seen the new running back, how good he is. We've seen the wide receivers, how good they are. But the main piece, we haven't seen him drive,
I'm
James.
Just keep driving 60.
Listen, I got a couple cars. I'm just not giving my keys. That's why I get their driving test.
You know what I'm saying? If you are, you're going to be in the car with them. And you're going to make sure they drive. Just drive the way you've been driving, young fella.
Where?
It's going to be good enough.
You don't drive on these highways in L.A. compared to driving in the bumper cars. That's two different lanes. That's two different things.
All I'm saying is if he...
Were you a good wide receiver?
I was a good wide receiver.
You were a good wide receiver?
Yes.
Your rookie year, how was you? Was you phenomenal?
I was a good player. What I'm saying. Just be good. If you're good with what's around you, Shady,
Here's my question.
It ain't.
I think if all things go as planned, then, yes, they will be in the playoffs. They could win a playoff game if all things go as planned.
No doubt.
Now, we know all things will not go as planned.
This is the
NFL. They're not. So on paper, things go as planned, every once in a while, these things do happen, and that's the high end for me.
No questions.
I honestly don't, but I'm with Shady, though. Like, it doesn't matter to me how many games they win this year at all. You have a rookie quarterback, yes, who we expect to be spectacular, who is unbelievable in college, who I think has generational talent as well. I just think it does a huge disservice to rookies to put expectations on wins, particularly, which are so hard to do in the NFL. And the adjustment to me also is, you're saying if he just does what he did in college. If he does what he did in college, he's going to be the greatest rookie in the history of the sport. He was spectacular in college. Unbelievable in college. He was a Heisman. He went number one overall in the draft because of how spectacular he was in college.
Yeah. What I mean by that, though, is look like it. Like, we should see some of these throws you made in college. Right?
Help me out.
CJ Stroud was one of the best rookie quarterbacks.
Yes.
I've seen a long time.
We give Bryce Young a pass, right? But Bryce Young had some good moments. All I'm saying is don't look like you don't know what you're doing.
You're saying the ceiling is the playoffs.
Is the playoffs.
Right?
Because of the team around
him. First of all, now I got to get into it. Because I was just trying to do like the little, now I got to get into it. You got new coordinators on both sides.
New coordinators.
Yeah. All right, especially on offense.
Well, the head coach going to run the defense.
New coordinator. Let's just keep it what it is. Offense, new coordinator. In college, I ran this offense. Now I'm learning a whole new offense. I was with Tom Brady with Tampa my last year, right? He played 20 years with the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
He's only knew that offense. He came to the Bucs.
Adjustment.
It was new for him.
No question.
He was saying words, right, that he meant
Patriots.
For something else for the Patriots, but for the Bucs, it was something different. Mm-hmm. He had to learn that all over again, and that's Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me a college kid who talks about how he had a big loss, and all he wanted to do was go home, put Netflix on, and cuddle with his dogs. That's college talk. There's nothing wrong with that. This is the pros, bro.
Yes.
New wide receiver. You got used to him.
All three of them.
All three new wide receivers. New running game. New offensive linemen. Yeah. So when you're speaking about this thing as it's so easy that you go in and just drop a player in there, and he's going to be great, it don't work like that.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud, that's different. right? I didn't expect that.
Nobody did.
But most rookies, they don't look like that. And you know this.
There's a lot of rookies in our league that have had success at as a rookie, correct?
And there's a lot of, that didn't.
No question.
There's more that didn't.
And
there's more that didn't.
None of them that was like him, that we grade like him. All I'm saying is, I know it is extremely hard. I played in the league with you, Shady. I know it's extremely hard as a rookie. But I've seen plenty of rookies do it. And all I'm saying is if you come in here and you can play at a high level with what's around you, because that's another thing. No rookie has came into a team like he is coming into. If he comes in and he can be better than the quarterback last year, this team should be in the playoffs.
Before,
that's the ceiling.
Before I'm done with the segment, I just want to know, you said something, right, because we both played in the NFL, correct? So you seen more rookies play good than play bad?
I didn't say that. Who said that? I'm trying to put words in my mouth. I'm just saying I've seen rookies come in and play well, and I've seen rookies not. But we have not graded some of these rookies like we grade him.
Okay.
We put him up here.
Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, right? Not only did he tell me this, he said, yo, I couldn't read no coverages before I got here. I just played ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really? Oh, okay.
And he played
Tyree Hill said,
play
he
ball.
Said, yo, when we first got Patrick Mahomes, because he didn't start his first year, he said, bro, I'm thinking like, they drafted this dude. Why we get him? He's a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
The next couple years, he's like, damn, that's Pat?
Yeah.
People would never knew how good Pat was if he plays a rookie, right? Until more time, you're saying playing overall.
I'm not going
to
say
he's the hardest
not,
position to play in football
is quarterback.
Yeah. And you tell me you had a rookie who has Hall of Fame potential. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Yeah. He's that good. But you got to get there, bro. Yeah. You got to get there.
So I think, are we having two different conversations? Because I'm saying,
I don't know what you're having.
I'm saying,
you
silly.
By yourself.
No, no, no.
Fella could come out and play
man,
well, the ceiling is very high.
Talk to her. I'm done with you.
We put him on a different pedestal. He should come in this league playing well. Reading coverages or not.
Tell him I'm
make
done
them throws. I can hear you. I'm right here. But make it throws or not. He should be able to do something.
My other thing with this is also, even with C.J. Stroud, and I hate bringing this up because it sounds like I'm hating, but I'm just literally saying what happened. The Jacksonville was 8-3 and collapsed.
I know that.
Okay. Now Houston did everything that they were supposed to do to be in position to take advantage of that, so they deserve credit for that. But you count on other teams slipping as well. We know there will be new teams in the playoffs every single year. That always happens. So for me to say that there's no chance the Bears do or any of that, that's silly. Like, there's going to be some turnover there. We know that. Someone's going to get injured. It's like there's catastrophic things that happen we can't predict every single year.
Yeah.
It's never chalk how we think it is. What I think Shady is saying is, why put any expectations whatsoever on this rookie quarterback? Forget what he's working with, because if it doesn't go well, it doesn't matter.
So y'all are telling me that he could just come out here and look sorry and it don't matter?
Bryce Young didn't look sorry to you this year?
But that's what I'm saying.
What? Bryce Young
he is on a different level. We don't think of Bryce Young
Trevor
like we
Lawrence,
think of this
Trevor
dude.
Trevor Lawrence had an awful. We talked the exact same way. The exact same thing.
We know how he feels about Trevor.
I know, but I'm telling you, we tried to change the college rules to get him out of college after his freshman year.
Mm.
We talked the same way about Trevor Lawrence as we did about Caleb Williams. We don't bring it up now because
we
all feel
Trevor right now, though.
Now, but not after his rookie season.
They still treat him like he good?
Not after his rookie season.
They don't? He almost went the blows because you was trying to tell me how good he was for real.
That wasn't the conversation,
you watch the tape? I'm like, yeah, watch tape.
That's not
that
the
was
thing.
Not the conversation.
I'm saying after
man.
His rookie year, none of us were freaking out.
So help both of you guys help me out.
I can help you.
If Caleb Williams
for free
comes out here his rookie season
for
17 games and he looks garbage, we are saying that's okay. We gonna wait till next year to see how he looks.
This is why, real quick, this is why I don't judge rookies though, right? It was a time when Trubisky had a solid rookie year. He had everybody fooled. For real, I'm being serious though. He's god awful. Justin Fields, right? In the preseason game, he was saying, man, this
but
is
he had
whoa, 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 whoa.
Because
he said, man, this is easy, right? And everybody was like, yo, should they start him? Remember, do you remember this? Do you remember when this happened? And as a rookie, yo, we see how you good you really are. That's why I don't judge rookies, because there might be some guys that look good like Trubisky, mm-hmm. right? And then we found that he's not that good of a player. I played with Josh Allen as a rookie.
Yeah.
I remember boys hit me like, yo, what's up? And I said, yo, he got a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. Boys, tough as nails, right? 6'4", 250, strong, you know, he's nice. But I didn't know he would be this good because he was a rookie.
You
and then as he got, but as he got better, bro, I see how good he really could be. So when they draft these kids, they draft them for the potential for one, And this contract or the time you're with my organization, I want to get a Super Bowl or be one of the best quarterbacks in football, which he could do all them things. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is, as a rookie, it takes time, James Jones.
I understand it takes time, Shady McCoy. I understand that. But at the same time, if this dude comes out here and he looks garbage, the Bears ain't going to be happy.
I don't really know how excited
the Carolina Panthers is right now about Bryce Young. You don't know what you're getting off of what he showed last year. You don't know.
They'd be being very silly. Honestly.
Thank you.
Especially
he got a point.
Which is why we don't say anything bad about Bryce Young at all. Why we've not been
critical
of him at all. Because we saw what they put around it. Well, maybe they will. I won't have anything bad to say about it. He's a rookie.
And if he's
great, then great.
It depends how he looks.
If he looks awful, you gonna talk about him as a rookie?
I'm gonna say he should be better. Absolutely. Because I done seen other rookies that wasn't as good as him come out of college and do more.
What about Peyton Manning, though?
I can't wait for the season.
What about Peyton Manning, though?
I can't get here
fast. He was one.
I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time. He was setting rookie interception records as a rookie. And you don't say that about him?
He better play like C.J. Stroud.
This dude's crazy.
He better play like C.J. Stroud. Because he's that type of player. And capable.
Coming up, the Lakers need a head coach, and you will not believe some of the wild scenarios that are being floated around LeBron and the Lakers. That's next on Speak.
Hey, James, do you do gummies?
Yes, I do. I believe.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more. Right now, you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Lakers were eliminated in the first round by the Nuggets, and now they're looking for a new head coach. Former Laker Byron Scott had an interesting opinion on LeBron James earlier today on Undisputed. Let's take a listen.
I got nothing but love and respect for LeBron. I love him. I think he's one of the greatest players that ever played this game. But it's obvious to me, at least, that he's making a lot of decisions that's going on in this organization.
No doubt.
From a coaching standpoint to a player standpoint. So if you're going to allow him to make those decisions, all right, sit on the bench and make those decisions as well. Be the head coach. As far as I'm concerned, the only person that he's going to really trust is himself. And since you're making a lot of these decisions anyway, why not put him in that seat?
Just to be clear, CBA rules state that an active player cannot be a player and a coach. But, Rick, what do you make of Byron Scott saying this about LeBron?
Number one, that's a former coach looking at other coaches who have been fired and saying, you know what, I'm going to speak up on their behalf. Because I feel
it's the coaching brotherhood.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So don't take this job?
They were treated unfairly. Not so much not take the job, but with whether it's Darvin Ham or Frank Vogel or any number of coaches, like, they're being the scapegoat here. Mm. And I think he feels that. Like, you know what? When you have a player like LeBron who is deciding who comes in and when they go and how things are done, and I would even say instances where we saw LeBron challenging Darvin Ham or dismissing what he was doing, not paying attention to, like, you can't have it both ways. So LeBron is, we have instances where LeBron appears like he's disengaged from what Darvin is asking him to do. And then when they fall short, it's Darvin Ham's fault that it didn't, his game plan didn't work. I think that's what's behind Byron saying that. And I think there is another part here too, where if we're going to give LeBron as much praise as we do, mm-hmm. for when he wins, when his teams win, and when they're successful, then can't we be critical on some level? Is there not part of that that goes to him when they fall short from where they're supposed to accomplish?
Well, I think this particular run, we all felt LeBron did as much as he could possibly do as LeBron at this age with this roster.
I agree with that. But then I think we need to ratchet down the expectation.
Well, I'm with you. I don't know what the expectations are supposed to be for this team, which is what this makes this whole conversation difficult. I think that, you know, obviously he's not going to be the player coach, but the insinuation is if you are a coach, you're not really making any calls anyway. So yeah. We might as well just let LeBron do everything. Obviously, that's not the case. And I still think that taking a job with the Lakers is still a good job. I think it's a great opportunity for someone who is an assistant who's never been a head coach. But I don't think it devalues your ability to being able to say that you were the coach of the Lakers matters. Mm-hmm. And if you have any level of success, we can see that even though Darvin Ham was fired, he did take this roster to the Western Conference Finals. Even though Frank Vogel was fired, he did win a championship. You can say whatever you want about the bubble. He couldn't have done better that year than what he did.
Mm-hmm. It probably got him the Phoenix job.
For sure.
Right.
And what he did before he coming to the Lakers, yeah, for sure. Like, he has a very long resume, a longer resume than Darvin Ham. But
the ring.
Yes, the ring does matter. You couldn't have done better that year, whatever you think of that year. He did the best out of everyone that did anything that year. So to me, it's more about what is the actual goal for the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron at this point. And then also considering the fact that they're going to have Bronny next year.
Yeah.
What are the actual expectations? Because we can't keep saying that the expectation is that they win a championship. No. We can't keep saying that. Like, this is not a roster that's good enough to get out of the first round or even take it to six in the first round. And my question about it is, what would have kept Darvin Ham here? Winning another game in the first round? Yeah. That's how low the bar has been set for the Lakers? That's confusing to me. But what do you think, Byron, what do you make of this, him saying this?
That's probably why he got fired as head coach, thinking like this. Listen, I get LeBron James is the superstar of the team, right? I understand that. He has invested a lot of time in the Lakers, right, and his league overall. I understand that part. But a coach like Tyronn Lue, right, I've heard different stories where they would get into it. Not get into it in a negative way, but, hey, basically, I'm the coach. This is what I want to do. Yeah. I know you're the superstar. I know you have your own way of thinking, but this is what I want to do. I'm the coach. And you need that. And I think a superstar player will understand that. And there's enough room where we both could – he can view his opinion because LeBron has that right. He's earned it, right? The things he's done in this league.
Right.
And give his input on different things, game plans, players. I understand that part. But you are the coach. You direct this thing. You the captain, right? Patrick Mahomes. I go to a different sport, but he going to put his input on different things he want to do. But the main one, the last voice in the room is Andy Reid. And you can do that thing together. Yeah. So I just hate when I hear these different things with LeBron James. It's an excuse. It's an excuse to me. Yeah.
Do you think the Lakers underachieved? Do you think that the Lakers should have done more than they did?
I mean, looking at the series, when you see two game winners, sure, they probably could have won one more game, like Joy said, but what does that mean? Yeah. I think Darvin Ham did the best he could with this roster, and I think when it was time for his big-time players to deliver, his big-time players didn't deliver. D'Lo, you going 0-17. My man Anthony Davis, you 4 points in the fourth quarter. Like, a lot of that ain't on him. So I think he did the best he could to get this team.
He did a good job.
Resting them and all that type stuff. He got them this far.
So I think the heart of this, Joy, is the reason that Byron Scott is saying what he's doing subliminally is LeBron James and Anthony Davis got Darvin Ham fired. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't deserved because of what he did. Because otherwise, to your point, Joy, and you just asked it, What else was he supposed to do with this roster? And if that's the question, then why did he get fired?
Right. And what's the clock now? Because now we're in a rhythm, right? Yeah. Like, you win a championship, have a down year, you get fired. Western Conference Finals, down year, you get fired. So this is not going to be a long-term situation for whoever they bring in here. And I would love Ty Lue, but Ty Lue isn't available.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you want to bring in somebody that LeBron can step toe-to-toe with, and battle in a positive way, the way that Andy Reid would with Patrick Mahomes, then you got to have somebody that has that cachet. And I don't think that person is either A, taking this job, or B, is available.
Yeah.
But not only that, like, when I look at LeBron James, he has got coaches fired that won championships with him. He's got coaches fired that took him to Western Conference Finals. He's got coaches fired that he's been first-round exit. I think Byron Scott is talking like me. He's salty. Because you done got all these coaches fired. You done won a championship with a coach. You didn't like what he was doing. This coach took you to the Western Conference Finals. You don't like what he doing. You coach. You bring in the next coach. and you not dribble the ball off your foot, and you get AD some shots, design some plays and get the clipboard and get him the bucket. You help D'Lo make some shots. So I think Byron Scott is salty because why is it going to Darvin Ham? And I see you didn't have the most turnovers in your career. Anthony Davis ain't helping us in the fourth quarter. D'Lo ain't helping us. He our third best player. What you want me to do? Well, I did my best.
It goes back also to we're not talking about the problem. LeBron may have had his most turnovers and all that, but we also think LeBron was playing at a pretty high level. Like, he was shooting very well. He was shooting the best that he shot from three-point. Like, LeBron, there was a whole lot more you could ask from LeBron James at this point. You could certainly ask more from Anthony Davis based off of his fourth-quarter performances. You can certainly ask more from D'Angelo Russell, and we can go down the line.
Yeah.
But when you go down the line, that's when I'm starting to ask these questions. Like, what are we, Gordon Ramsay, what am I doing with these ingredients? Like, who here is cooking with this? And we can bring up Spoelstra, who, again, is unavailable. But even if you bring someone like Eric Spoelstra, who I think would give a lot of credit to his success also to the Godfather and Pat Riley and being able to put together these rosters and identify these young players that fit within their system and develop them, which I do not think the Lakers do at a very high level. Mm-hmm. He didn't win a championship with his team that everyone felt like was lesser than. They got there, but they didn't win a championship. So what is the bar? Is it getting to a championship? It can't be getting to the Western Conference Finals because you just fired Darvin Ham. It can't be winning a championship in the bubble because you fired Frank Vogel. So what is the expectation, particularly with this roster? And does anyone think this roster is good enough to win?
I do, though. If you really watch the games, right, I think the roster is like the easy way out. But if you watch, they were leading. Look at the time of who was winning the games. They were. Mm-hmm. They don't just happen as a mistake, right? And the times that they trailed was way less than the times that we were winning. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at all these games, look at the game plans, right? We talk about Jamal Murray, how good he is, right? Hit the game winners a couple times. Yeah. Cool. I like that. Good player. A lot of them games, he was locked up.
Yeah.
Ham had a great defensive game plan for him. Mm-hmm. You talk about Anthony Davis, the way he played on Jokic. A lot of them games, he played very, very well. Fourth quarter changed up. But that's the same thing with AD. Why is it that the Lakers play so well in all these games, but in the fourth quarter they collapse?
I have a question.
Is that always on the coach?
Because I felt that way too.
Okay.
But now I've watched the Nuggets.
Thank you.
In two games, play the exact same way they played against the Lakers, which is start extremely slow. Only the difference is the team they're playing now is way better than the Lakers. So they're not only taking advantage of the fact that the Nuggets are starting slow like they did against the Lakers, which is part of the reason why I think the Lakers led for 70% of the series, and they didn't close. The difference is the closing, because the Nuggets are playing the same way in this series. The difference is they're losing now.
Yeah.
So that's why, again, go back to the roster, because they were close. They were in those games, and maybe it would have made a difference.
I mean,
Jamal Murray misses one of those game winners, right?
Let's say this makes him. Let's say he makes him. What I'm saying is, you talk about the Timberwolves, correct?
Yeah.
So we're going to take away the defense. Defense part, they just playing phenomenal defense. But on the offensive side, Ant-Man is giving you the same energy and tempo in the first half and the second half.
Yep.
Karl Anthony Towns, right? He gives you the same energy offensively on the first half. He's on the second half.
I agree.
The Lakers, they didn't do that.
Nope.
AD in the first half looks like two different people in the second half.
But what? But whose fault is that, though?
AD. It's the coach's fault?
No, I agree it's AD's fault. But this is what I'm saying. What is the new coach going to do?
When you talk about like the roster part, I like the Lakers roster, right? I might do some different things, maybe switch out certain little guys here and there, but overall the roster, they did go to Western Conference Finals last year. They did do that.
They did do
and
that.
And then this year, bro, the defending champs, you was beating them majority of the time you played them.
Okay, but look, the Denver Nuggets had a big hand in the fact that the Lakers were leading for as much as they were in those games.
Why is that?
Because the Denver Nuggets weren't playing their best. The Denver Nuggets, after beating them 8-9 times in a row, were like, look, we're trying to win a championship. We don't have to win this in the first quarter. We don't have to win it in the second quarter. We know we can get these boys at the end when we need to.
Okay.
We will wait until the fourth quarter and then go win this game. They did it for the better part of this season in a lot of games. They weren't blowing teams out. They would. I watched them night after night where I'm like, okay, they just know that they can turn it on at the end and they're going to win. And you create bad habits when you're doing that, and that can catch up with you. But I think that it's really a misconception that the Lakers were winning and couldn't hold on to the game. I think the Denver Nuggets were just laying low and waiting and taking over at the end.
So what about AD? And I can hear that.
And here's the other thing.
That might be true.
Here's the other thing with AD.
What's up? Okay.
You're asking, you're saying, like, why can't AD play both halves the same way, right?
Okay.
Shots.
Go ahead.
When has he ever?
Man, I see. That's his
excuse.
But see, that's his excuse.
He's the same dude he's always been.
Listen, I'm not even saying you got to score, but give me, you're not even shooting the ball. You're not even shooting the ball.
But he has been that for the better part of his career.
But that's the problem, too, though, because then you get up there and you get up on this podium and you say, oh, we don't know what we're doing
right
there.
I'm with you.
And that's the thing. So for me, like, Shady brought up a really good point. Andy Reid has the final say. Patrick Mahomes may have a little input in there, but this is the only difference, though. If Patrick Mahomes is in the locker room like, man, I don't know what Andy Reid doing. You know who that's going to funnel down to? The youngsters.
That ain't happening.
The people that. So, Ron Brown and AD, that's all y'all been doing. So, that's going to funnel down to the youngsters. So, now, oh, he don't know what he's doing. And then now that's how your team playing. But if Patty like, bruh, this is what Andy said, bruh. Make it, let's do it. And if we do it right here, give us another player something. That's leadership. Brown and them don't never do that. It's always somebody. We ain't prepared. You ain't took no shots, scored no buckets. You dribbling the ball off your foot, LeBron. Prepare for what?
Preach. He ain't lying. Man.
Y'all ain't a lot of real talk? Lakers? If they need a head coach, he right there. Get James Harden ready to go. You hear me?
He's gonna give a speech now.
Putting people on the bench. You think he wanna play?
Coming up, could an NBA player play in the NFL right now? What about an NFL all-star like Micah Parsons in the NBA?
You looking at him.
Okay. We have a lot to say about this next on Speak.
Shady's been preaching that for a while.
Yeah, like, yeah. Looking at him, Drew, you crazy?
That is funny.
Put me in the game, coach.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Former NBA player Austin Rivers made headlines saying, quote, I can take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. All you've got to do is catch the ball and run the north or south. I think football's a little more complicated than that, but.
He just talked.
Shady.
He ain't got else to do. He's not retired yet. He's just not on the team. So I get it. He got time to talk. I like Austin though, Rivers. Actually, we are kind of cool. So, But I'm just being honest. Like, what he talking about? Right? Now, I get it. Basketball players feel like they can play football. And then we always felt like football players play basketball. Mm-hmm. So I get what he's trying to say, but to make it seem like it's that easy, he know it's not. Because like, we always talk about like guys like LeBron. He could be a phenomenal tight end or wide receiver. Why? Because he's athletic? Because he's talented? Because what happens when he's under that pile, right? And I've seen we see all LeBron James call for fouls. Oh, my God. Like, it'd be a little bit. He's doing this. Yeah. Right? It's a technical foul. Because under that pile, it's people going to be grabbing parts of your body that you don't like, grabbing your neck, punching you, biting you, squeezing you. We've all been there.
Yeah.
It's not even that.
Getting hit late in the knees, all type of things. That's football for you. So it's like in football, because the talent part, if he could catch or not, he could jump high. I don't really care about that. It's part of, yo, this dude is trying to hurt me, and it's legal.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the 30 is obviously 30 is a big number, and the running north and south obviously is not like, I mean.
He was trying to be smart by saying that.
Yeah.
Let's think about this real quick, though, right? Because I've been there, like I say this all the time. You telling me if I'm 22 years old and I'm like, I'm not 210 pounds, 50 pounds, and I'm probably like 190, 180, I can't be Patrick Beverly? Whatever, I heard make a lot of noise, play cool defense here and there, don't never really shoot, kinda, don't really score. Oh, Kyle Lowry, right? In his later years. I can be that, though.
But that's not what he said.
He said
there are 30 cats.
Sign me up, coach.
Who could step off the NBA and step into the NFL and play. I obviously didn't play.
His dad's Doc Rivers. Give him a pass.
I've been on the sideline for an NFL game. Mm-hmm. Those hits are like car wrecks, man.
No question.
And I can't name 30 guys in the NBA that would be willing to take one of those hits.
Yeah.
Like, look, plenty of NBA guys played football in high school, and then they decided, you know what? I'm gonna go play basketball in college because I don't have Yeah. I don't have the taste for that. And I understand it, but why are we in this place?
That's their big
Draymond.
Wolf,
this
right
is funny. Look at Draymond.
Look at that.
Look, you ain't gonna eat that. Look, I love Draymond. He ain't gonna be bullying us like that.
Yeah.
You bully Rudy and them other dudes and go down there and mess. Not us. We ain't more that.
Exactly.
I mean, the difference is that it's a contact sport and collision sport. Why I don't like this conversation is I'm always having to defend NBA players.
Got no more.
Why do we bring this tape up? I'm always defending NBA players about them not being soft. Because all the time people are talking about how soft NBA players are. And I'm like, look, and not NFL players, really. I'm not going to get in that argument. Just like regular people. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, like they're soft. They're soft. Like, let me this down. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really cute. That's adorable. Yeah. Right. Zion Williamson is running full speed down the court, who is not a football player, looks like a football player, but is not, in fact, a football player. Is an NBA player, and you're taking a charge. You're living through that?
Yeah.
Let me spoil this for you. You're in the hospital, okay? So don't talk to me about how soft these players are. And that's Zion. We can go all the way down the list. We can go to Paul George. We can go to Russell Westbrook. All these dudes are messing your entire week up, if not your month, and you're going to be in the chiropractor for a while. I'm talking about regular people.
Yep.
So I'm always defending NBA players that they are not actually soft. It is a contact sport.
Yeah.
Okay, Shaquille O'Neal played basketball. Mm. It is a contact sport. What it is not is a collision sport, and that is what the NFL is. So if you're telling me there's 30 NBA players who are going to go play NFL football, which has humbled plenty of men, right now, there's maybe one. Yeah. Maybe. And I'd have to see it.
Yeah. First off, really quick, let's just get this straight. Number one, they put in a flop role in the NBA because you guys are soft.
Oh, no. God. See, now you guys started.
You guys started a trend of rest games. That's what y'all started. And now y'all want extra votes and all that type of stuff to win the MVP because you only play 22 games out of 82. Y'all started that. So y'all all are. Number two. You said 30 dudes. If you would have said one dude, maybe Anthony Edwards could play safety or something, I'd have listened to you or something like that. You said 30 dudes. No. Number one, put respect on our sport. That's number one. It is not just run and catch the ball and turn around. It ain't just hand the ball off and do that. It takes a lot of work at your craft to do what we do on the football field. And Austin Rivers, if you stepped on the football field, homeboy, you wouldn't make it. We know that right now because you barely made it in the NBA. And I'm just keeping it a buck. Football is not an easy game, dog. That's why a lot of football players, basketball players that stepped on the football field, step right back on the basketball court because it's not an easy game. It's a lot that goes into the NFL. And you're not about to walk into the NFL and think you're just about to catch and turn around. Try again, homeboy. Do your research on the NFL, man. Watch some football games, old games, new games, whatever you want to watch, and catch up on it, man, because 30 dudes in the NFL and the NBA ain't
James
doing that,
Jones,
homeboy.
Drop the mic.
May 8th, 2024, James Jones, day to go in.
You can't let him get you under your skin like that.
He crazy, though. That's cool. Disrespectful. Was, 30 dudes, that's disrespectful,
and that's my
man.
Question. Actually, that's
catch,
my
turn around. He just disrespecting our game, man. We put too much time and effort into this game.
Because you said, like, you know, I feel that way. But you're not going out there and literally saying, I could play in the NBA. You might feel that some kind of way.
Really?
No, Shady might be saying that.
I'm going to announce to a bunch of NBA dudes, you know what I could do? I could do your job.
I'm saying
what. Because that's what he's saying.
All I'm saying is this. When I watch certain players, though, like, I truly believe that I could be Patrick Beverley, right?
I think I might give you that one, but the numbers and the last part of the statement is what's crazy. Like 30 NBA players are not playing in the NFL, and for that matter, I don't think 30 NFL players could play in the NBA.
Agreed.
Like I agree with that too.
The body types, like you could obviously.
So you're the one?
No, I'm saying like.
there's body types obviously that translate back and forth between the leagues. Like, you could pick a receiver. You could pick lots of tight ends, played basketball at a high level in college, and then went on to play football. So there are examples of this, but they are limited. They're outliers. I don't think that there's just NFL players, no matter how talented or skilled or athletic they are, could just go and play in the NBA just because their body type fits that. It's an extremely skilled league. It's the best league in the world for a reason. So when you're talking about 30, and then you're saying that you just catch the ball and run north and south, except for there's other players on the field who are trying to tackle you and are faster than you and stronger than you. And generally, they can catch you.
But he barely played basketball, though. That's what makes it.
Dude,
I think we're ruffing everybody's feathers up. Because he really played basketball.
Coming up.
He was trying to do it.
Jamal Murray was not suspended for throwing a heating pad on the court in game two. But was the fine punishment enough? That's next on Speak.
Why am I more heated about this than you guys are?
I don't know if you're more heated than James. James is getting a speech.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jamal Murray avoided suspension, but he was fined $100,000 for multiple incidents during game two, and he threw a towel in the ref's direction, and then he threw a heating pad. James, was a fine enough punishment for Jamal Murray?
No, they should have hit his pockets for a couple more dollars. Thank God nobody got hurt, but you cannot suspend him. We are in playoffs. Ratings got to be up. We want to see stars on stars. You cannot suspend him, but I would have. He threw two things? It at least been 200. But, I mean, thank God nobody got hurt. But I wouldn't have suspended him because, like I say, we want to see stars on stars, best on best. But you can't do this, bro. You mess around, get somebody hurt, man.
Shady, I know you think it's been enough.
Another cop on duty. You serious?
Yeah, man. He should. Bro, what? My man's ankle slid on that. What if he got hurt? Didn't you want more money, Shady?
Did
somebody got hurt?
Did he?
Did he didn't. That's why I say he shouldn't be suspended.
So you calling the cops for everything? It's crazy, man.
I'm calling the popos on this one, Andy.
All right, so
come on, man.
If the cops give out three traffic tickets for speeding,
right,
and the fourth person comes along speeding and they don't give them a traffic ticket, you think that's fair?
Well, maybe they checked their record and they never had a speeding ticket before.
Slick.
Does that make a difference?
People get warnings all the time.
If you've never sped before.
Your previous record, your reputation does matter in these suspensions. And I think that it was considered by the league that this was something that was a bit out of character for Jamal Murray. And this was something that he had done constantly, or he's causing problems. Then, yeah, maybe that's the situation. But
okay,
nothing happens.
So the first time Steph Curry threw his mouthpiece,
yeah,
he should not have been thrown out of the game. Because he'd never.
Okay, well, we're not talking about the refs now, because the refs didn't do nothing in this game. I don't talk about the refs.
But that's my problem. Yeah.
He threw it out.
He didn't throw in the stands. One time he threw it at the scorer's table.
He did, yeah.
I mean, he's done it. He did it three different times. One time Jordan Poole took a shot he didn't like. He threw it then. And he got thrown out of every single game.
Yeah, but a mouthpiece.
You just brought it up. Draymond Green.
Yeah, but Draymond has a history of this. Like,
No. But he did something in the game that they did not adjudicate. He didn't get kicked out of that game. They looked at it after the fact and said, you know what? We've got to suspend him again.
What moment are you talking about?
What's that?
What moment are you talking about?
I'm talking about in the 2016 finals.
LeBron, yeah.
Game four.
Yeah.
When he
after
went
the game
down
today.
And he kind of swung. Yeah, right. And then they looked at it after the fact and they said, we're going to suspend you. Mm-hmm. Because the referees didn't handle their business in this game, then it puts you in the position where
let's call the cops.
Well, we have to do something.
Call me. Call
and
me.
You can't tell me.
So you're saying the refs are supposed to do something about them throwing the
heat? Yes, no, especially since
they didn't set the tone during the game. Yeah.
They didn't do anything about this. And Minnesota alerted them. They said, hey, Jamal Murray's throwing stuff on the court. Now, they go back and they look at video.
So they're the cops too.
If somebody gets hit. Somebody gets hit in the face, and the refs didn't see it, but they see a guy like holding his head. They go back and they look at the video, and they're like, "Oh, okay, we gotta make a call."
Well,
ignored this, and as a result, they're in this awkward situation now. Where what, $100,000 fine? Come on, man.
I don't think you can tell me. Sometimes that's enough to deter someone from doing it again.
If Denver is up,
9-1-1.
Coming up. Coming up, KD, LeBron, and Steph are all out of the playoffs. So which superstar has the best chance of winning another title? That's next. Let's speak. The NBA playoffs do not have Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, or LeBron James in the second round for the first time since 2005. An NBA analyst said he doesn't believe any of them will win another championship, adding that the state of the league is, quote, in the hands of this next wave. Shady, who has the best chance of winning another title, KD, LeBron, or Steph?
It's a tough one. Because I feel like with the Warriors, when they won that championship, what, 2 years ago? Yeah. Nobody's seen that coming.
Nobody.
Right? 2 years before that, they were like, guys are hurt, not making the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. Fighting to play in, right? Lose to the Lakers. And then you see they got the team together and they won a championship. And Steph Curry carried them. But then I look at Kevin Durant. It looks like he's not happy in Phoenix. And I think that out of all the players, he's the one that teams up with other teams. That's what he's done.
Yeah.
So I think that, right? You go from the Nets, you go from the Warriors.
Well, LeBron's done some of that too.
Yeah. But it's more like LeBron kind of putting it together. KD's kind of adding on. And there's no shade to KD. He's one of my favorite players. But I think that he might go to the right team. Might come back to the Warriors. Might go, imagine him in the Heat, Miami. Mm. What they would be like. Him, Bam, and Jimmy, if Jimmy stays. Ooh. So I would really go with Kevin Durant, because I feel like if he goes to the right team, what they could be, don't know how good he is. But then Steph Curry, I watched the Warriors build that team up again when everybody doubted him.
Yeah, I would go with KD. Mostly because I could see him ending up on another team.
Yeah.
And he's also the youngest of the three of them. Steph, I don't see is going anywhere. So if they don't sort out anything in Golden State, I just don't see him going anywhere soon. Mm. So towards the end of his career, maybe if they don't get it together. But I just can't imagine him anywhere else. And LeBron is finishing his time with the Lakers. So unless something gets fixed with the Lakers, that's going to be what it is. So to me, I would have to go with KD. But we will get James and Rick's answer on the other side. Stick around here on Speak. Welcome back, Rick. Who has the best chance at winning another title?
Shady be killing me with that record.
LeBron, Steph.
I actually agree. I agree with the thought that I don't see any of these three winning another one. But if we're going to ask the question, best chance, I have to go with Steph Curry. Simply because if I look at the pieces around him, Andrew Wiggins is in the prime of his career. He's 28 years old. He has demonstrated that he can be a championship-level player. He hasn't demonstrated that the last 2 years.
At all.
But you got Jonathan Kuminga, who you can see, you look at it being better. Moses Moody can improve. Brad Ponczemski showed me something. Trayce Jackson-Davis. Like, there's pieces where I could say that team can get better. If I look at the Phoenix Suns as constituted, or the Lakers as constituted, I can't say that about them.
And they got a good coach that ain't that everybody likes.
James Jones for the Lakers?
Yeah, I'm going with Steph Curry, too. I think, obviously he's done it more recent. I mean, 2 years ago. But Kerr's there. They got a really good young roster.
Coach.
And they have shown us that they will build around Curry and bring in any players that they want to bring in to help him win. And I think they'll help Steph Curry one more last push, help Steph Curry get one more ring.
Would you coach the Lakers? They offered it to you?
No.
What you mean?
Not up for
it. Yeah, you would.
I would not coach the Lakers.
For the paper?
Would do that? And
I mean, it is easy
NBA?
To play basketball.
It's
just
easy
throw
to play
it up
basketball.
And shoot it. You know
what I'm saying? Thanks for joining us. Ray Solomon next.
Shoot it.